gloomy out.
Right. Yeah. I know. It was very foggy this morning. It was hard to get up.
All I want to do is sleep. Hugo's doing that for me, though. He has not moved for about 2 days. So.
Thank goodness somebody is doing it. We need somebody
Somebody has to, yeah, somebody had to take one for the team. And I think he was, you know, he bit the bullet and did it for us. Yeah. Against what he normally would do. Cause we all know he's so active and
so
sporty, obviously.
Yeah.
He moved. He just looked at me like, shut up.
Hey, come on. Give me a break.
No, it's so funny because sometimes my mom is like, I don't think, she's like, obviously humans have nothing to do with dogs and how they're born and personalities and stuff. But she's like, I think you birthed him at some point, like in a past life or something, because we don't like outside. We both have allergies when we go outside. We both like to sleep. He's very dramatic, which I'm self-aware. I can be self-aware and note that I am a dramatic individual. And he loves to sleep, which I'm like, when I'm having an arthritis moment, that's like real helpful that I don't have a super active dog.
I mean, you were meant to be together.
We were meant to be. He knew it too. Did I ever tell you that story? When I first
got
I feel like I might have said it on here before, but I've definitely told Asha this. But I went and I saw him at the SPCA on the West Bank. He's a wanker. And he just like, he ignored me the first like 10 minutes I was there. And I sat down outside and he just came and he curled up in my lap and put his head on my arm, like in my elbow crease, and went to sleep and then snored. I was like, well, guess this one's coming with me.
I know. I've adopted all of my pets from the shelter as well. And they pick you.
They pick you for
sure.
It was funny too, because my mom's coworker was working there. Like she did, she volunteered there and she sent a picture and it was not a good picture. Like, I'm sorry, my dog is adorable. Like he's so cute. And it was not a good picture, but my mom, Linda, was like, let's just go. Like, we were just like, let's just go. We'll see, whatever.
Yeah.
And then he ended up being so adorable and fell asleep on me. And now he rules my life and he's in charge. It's not me. He is definitely in charge.
Yes.
But anywho, how are you? How are you and your group of animals? I'm including the kids in that as well.
They're sleeping. The cats are sleeping. The children are not here.
Oh, so. You party.
Yeah. Everybody's
gone or asleep. You could just have a rager, Ashley. You should just rave it up. There you go.
I did some laundry.
Hell yeah. Talk about a party. See, I can't do laundry when Hugo's here because he is scared of the washing machine. Mm. So he runs my life, man. I have to, anytime he's gone, when he's with my uncle, I do a shit ton of laundry and I wash the dishes in the dishwasher because he hates both of those things and will let me know that he hates them.
Cool.
So I feel that
I have a recommendation that's in the line of what we do here. Did we talk about Night Stalker on Netflix?
We have not, because I just started watching it. So I was going to bring it up, but I only watched the first episode.
It is really good. And I listened to another podcast called The Last Podcast on the Left.
Yes.
And they are, let's say, very irreverent. It's not the humor for everyone. They can get a little...
it's an acquired taste.
It's very adult, but they wrote a book and they did a whole background on the Night Stalker, his childhood and all kind of trauma that he went through.
Yeah, they know who the Night Stalker is, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
This one follows the detectives.
Right. I like the main guy. He's cute. The one that was he'd only been a detective for like 0.5 seconds.
Yes.
He's adorable. He seems real fun. And his wife too. I love that he went to what did he went to Nam or something, and then the wife like broke up with him.
Yeah.
And he was going to get back together with her just so he could break up with her. And then they got married and had a couple of kids.
Yeah. Well, I really like it because it doesn't focus on the killer. It focuses on the hard work that they put in to catch him, as well as the work of the community.
Yes.
That finally led to him being, so you'll see that. I like that.
Yeah, I'm excited to see more of it because I have to find things to watch while I'm on the elliptical. And so that's my new one because the episodes are like 45 minutes long, which is like a perfect elliptical time for anyone wondering. But yeah, so I watched the first one on Thursday and I need to go back again and watch
it. And that era really speaks to me because that's when I was a kid and like,
yeah. You know. Yeah, it seems interesting. I don't really know anything. Like, I know what the Night Stalker did. Like, I know about the Night Stalker, but I don't really, like, know the details of it. Like, it was never, for some reason, it was never one that, like, I wasn't really, like, moved by it at all. Like, it wasn't.
Oh, he's terrifying.
I know, but I guess, like, I'm more of, like, a Zodiac killer kind of. Kind of gal.
That's because I think probably because the Zodiac killer like left all these mysterious messages.
Love that.
This guy was just addicted to candy and cocaine.
Yeah.
And alcohol and just like was a raging murderer.
He sounds like a gem. Like a gem of a human. Just top notch, really.
He had a really messed up childhood too. He's one of those serial killers that had several traumatic brain injuries. You know how that's like a pattern? A lot of the really bad ones have bad. Yeah.
Yeah, that's like really part of it.
And he watched his aunt was murdered in front of him and stuff.
Oh God.
By his uncle.
Did he kill animals?
That wasn't really his thing. It was more about people, which is not great either.
Which is, I know, and I feel horrible saying, because I hate when I hear that they kill.
Oh, I know.
And I'm like, thank God, they only killed people. And it's like, that's not great either. But like, at least it was an animal.
I know, I totally get it. I know. But anyway, I think you'll enjoy it because, there is redemption in the end, like they do, you know.
I do like that. I'm very used to watching the ones where they're like still hunting for the person.
I know unsolved mysteries is frustrating.
Unsolved mysteries can be really frustrating, especially because they lay it out like a Dateline episode almost, like the murder ones, not like the alien ones and stuff, but like the murder ones and stuff, and they lay it out like a Dateline, and then you're like guessing who it is. And then instead of like at the end of the Dateline, when Keith Morrison is sitting across from the person in jail, like, oh, you did it kind of thing. The guy, well, there's multiple guys that were the person of Unsolved Mysteries, but like the guy's just like, this is still unsolved. If you know anything, call these people. And I'm like, God damn it. Was it the wife?
That jumped off the roof? Remember that recent one where he jumped off the roof apparently into another building and they still can't figure out how he did that?
No, where was
that? That's on the new Unsolved Mystery.
I haven't watched all of those.
Oh my God.
Sometimes they scare me. And
it's really good.
Since I live alone, it really
scares me. This is like, it is wild and they still cannot figure out how this guy died.
Well, because he jumped from a roof into a
building. But it's physically impossible for him. He'd have to like launch himself out.
It was aliens, obviously. Where's Linda? Linda's listening to this going, it was aliens. She watches that Ancient Alien shit. Everything's aliens. It was an alien. That's what it is. He's an alien. He's like the alien in Men in Black when they take over the human form.
Oh, yeah.
That's what he is. I saw it there.
I don't know. They never.
It's not unsolved anymore. I just solved it for you. You're welcome.
Yeah.
So speaking of unsolved.
Okay, good.
We have an unsolved mystery today, ma'am.
Awesome.
Look at this bruise on my finger.
It's weird.
I'll tell you what happened later. That makes it sound like it was something exciting. It wasn't. It was really stupid. I'm not going to share.
It was aliens.
It was aliens. It was, I got, yeah, that's, they're trying to turn me into an alien. No one's ever going to see this. I'm showing Ashley my injury on the computer, but.
The bruise on her pointer finger.
No. Anyway, so our unsolved mystery today, we have an unsolved murder on our hands.
Okay.
Intriguing, scary music. Ooh. Anyway, Edna Muscarello Lester was a 32-year-old mother of three living in New Orleans in the 1980s. Oh. Edna, who was recently divorced, lived with her mother and her kids on North Rampart Street in the Ninth Ward.
Okay.
So, on a typical weekday morning, specifically November 15th, 1982, Edna drove her three children to school at St. Maurice Elementary School shortly after 8 a.m. Bye, I love you, I'll see you this afternoon, and y'all can start working on the playground, were the last words Angel Lester remembers her mother saying to her before she walked into her elementary school that morning.
Oh.
Later that morning, just before lunchtime, a priest at the school came to get the Lester children to tell them their mother had died.
Oh my gosh.
Yep.
That's a nightmare.
The three children were told their mother died in a fire in their home shortly after she returned from dropping them off at school.
Oh no.
Smoke was seen coming from the North Rampart house around 9 a.m. and the fire department pulled Edna's body from the home, the only person involved in the fire, before her body was badly burned. So they did get to her before, she still was not alive, but they did get to her before her body was badly burned. So because the body was not badly burned, it was then that the firefighters noticed Edna had been stabbed in the chest.
Ooh.
Yeah. So a further autopsy revealed multiple vicious stab wounds all over Edna's body.
So that means somebody was close to her.
Yeah, girl. Yeah, girl.
Oh, God.
So in a Fox 8 report in November of 2019, so a little bit over a year ago, and I didn't find any updates, so this is still an active investigation, like a reopened active investigation unsolved murder case. There's a new NOPD detective on the case. His name is Winston Harbin. And Winston said that, or Harbin as they call him in all of the reports. Harbin said Edna's killer had stabbed her 15 times and then set the house on fire to cover up their crime.
Oh.
Yeah. There's no forced entry into the house, and Harbin notes that Edna's body was left in what he considers a staged manner to indicate rape, which Harbin also believes was done to cover up the real motive for murder.
Hmm.
Harbin tells Fox 8 Crime Stoppers, I'll give you an example. If you have a murder for hire, you don't want to make it look like a murder for hire. You want it to look like a possible sexual assault. You want it to look like a possible sexual assault so detectives can guide themselves towards previous sexual assault individuals in their neighborhood. So he is basically saying the person did this to throw detectives like off of why they actually murdered Edna.
Right.
Which to me just feels like a whole lot of work. Like,
I mean, yeah.
Like a whole lot of, I mean, I read nothing about this woman that indicated that she was like some bitch of a person and, you know, like deserved this horrid death. And
well, if you're in such a rage that you stab somebody 15 times, how do you then have the presence of mind to stop and think, oh, I better make it look like a rape?
Yeah.
You know what
and
I mean?
To, like have the stomach to do that and then move the horrid body that like the horrid thing that you left there to like move it and stage it.
Right.
Exactly. You're a horrible person. Just letting everyone know. If you do that, you're a horrible person. I don't know. I think it's like also, I mean, so typically women use knives because it's more personable, it's closer, it's more like
yes
you know, you're getting your actual kind of revenge. Like, and so
yeah,
keep, I just wanted to note that, because that's my personal,
that's exactly what I thought of too, because it's usually a crime of passion, like,
yes,
stabby, you get stabby.
Yeah, yeah, you get stabby. Yeah, and guys, like, usually, hey, guys, yeah, usually use guns because, right, guys are stupid, and guys usually use guns, or they like strangle or like smother or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, mm, that's like, that's more of a dude thing, a male type of thing. So to, right, me, the second I heard stabbing, I thought female.
Me too.
But nay, nay.
Okay.
So Angel Lester, Edna's daughter, did not find out that her mother was murdered until she was 17 and moved out of her father's home.
Oh.
So her father, she, once she moved out of her father's home at 17, she reconnected with her mother's family and friends. She just, and her siblings just believed that her mom died in a fire. That's, oh, what they, wow, were told. That's all they knew. She didn't find this out until she was 17.
So, oh my gosh.
No, like, I mean, one, it's horrible enough to think that your parent died in a fire. Two, to then find out that, like, your father basically lied to you and, oh, didn't, yeah, tell you that your mother, like, somebody murdered your mother, kind of thing.
May have been trying to protect them, you know, and didn't want them to be scared.
Well, we'll put a pin in that. Angel says, said that she learned a lot about her mother's murder since then. And one thing she learned, so Angel's kind of like, you know, she now knows what happened. So since then, she's been trying to like find out more information sure, about what the hell happened. It was also very quick. Like, she just dropped her kids off, and then at 9 a.m., this whole thing happened.
Yeah, that's super fast.
Like,
yeah.
So that's weird.
Yeah.
So Angel said she, one thing she found out while like trying, you know, to start this whole investigation herself and figure everything out, was that shortly after Edna dropped her kids off at school, she spoke with her cousin on the phone. So she's on the phone with her cousin, and while on the phone at home, at her house. So okay, while on the, cause this was the 80s and
the 80s, there's no, yeah, cell phones.
There's no cell phones. So while on the phone, the cousin said that Edna heard a knock at the door. She came back, she left, like left to go get the knock, like see who was at the door, came back and told her cousin that a black man was at the door who says he went to the Naval Academy with VJ, who is Edna's older brother. She told her cousin that the man was looking for VJ's address and that she was going to get that for him and call her right back, like call the cousin back. Well, she didn't call the cousin. She never ended up calling the cousin back.
Wow.
So Detective Harbin says that this unidentified black male who knocked on the door is the main suspect in the case because, I mean,
yeah, it happened,
so, yeah, it happened so quickly. I mean, either that person was not alone or like, you know, something. So,
right.
But Harbin notes that like, he may or may not be dead. He may or may not be in jail. Like considering the time frame, they have no idea where this person could be. Like this person could literally be anywhere, but he does have a name and that's all he has to go on. And the name is Marty, M-A-R-T-Y. So okay, they believe that this person's name is Marty. They're trying to find this person. He went to the Naval Academy.
Or did he though?
Or did he? We don't know. We have zero, yeah, idea. So
she obviously didn't recognize this guy. So
no, she did not know this person, which also I'm like, well, so yeah, she said it was a, okay. So she didn't say his actual name to the cousin. However, I mean, maybe I don't know. I didn't grow up in the 80s. So I don't know like how cautious people were, but like if some random person came to my door asking for my brother's address, one, I would be like, how did you find me? Like how do you know where I live? And two, I'm not just going to give you my brother's address and let you know where my brother lives. So I'm kind of,
I don't think that's unusual though for that time.
Okay. Cause like we, me, like, I'm like, absolutely not.
We did crazy stuff in the '80s and no one wore seatbelts and like,
we did crazy things. No one wore a seatbelt.
I mean, you know,
it was wild.
There was no safety. There was no like,
yeah.
You didn't, yeah, lock your doors, especially in New Orleans, which is, you know, New Orleans is a small town.
Yeah.
And you, yeah, know your neighbors. And if this guy, right, came up and said, hey, I know your brother from this.
I mean, I guess so, but yeah, that's not, how I live. So
yeah, that's good.
I can't relate to that.
That's good. Yeah.
So anyone knows, I will not give you my brother's address.
And especially
honestly, I get my brother's address wrong anyway, so I don't think I'd tell you the right thing.
This was still before, like, women were still taught, like, you don't question, especially men, like, you just, like,
absolutely not.
You don't want to be embarrassed, and you know what I mean?
Yeah, I get that part, but I think I wouldn't want to tell the person no. I would just pretend I didn't have a brother. I'd be like, I don't know who you're talking about.
I don't know her.
Yeah, I'd pull a Mariah. I don't know her. I don't know her. So I've never met her. How could I know her? I've never met her. yeah, like I would just be like, I don't have a brother. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know. I don't know who you are. I don't have a brother. That's so sad. That I feel like that is such a want, because like I think too, like whenever you're at like a bar or something and someone comes up to you like asking, you know, just like chatting with you or whatever, and like I have 100% casually slipped in like, oh, me and my boyfriend, and just make them like back off a little bit kind of, yeah, instead of just being like, I'm not interested. I don't know why. Yeah. We need more backbone. Our hopefully our young females have more backbone.
Yeah.
So, though this Marty person is the main suspect, they haven't ruled out other possibilities. One person of interest includes Edna's ex-husband and Angel's father, Russell Joseph Lester Sr. Mm-hmm. Harbin notes that Lester would have been one of the only people to know where Edna would have been and at what time, like her movement, like he would have been the only one to really know like her movements with her kids, like what time she dropped them off at school, like yada, yada. Like not just your random person doesn't know that. Like, I don't know when my sister-in-law drops my niece and nephew off at school. Like, you know, that's not like information second, you know, that's close information to like you and your family kind of thing. So that's why, so they've spoken to Mr. Lester Sr. on the phone a couple of times, but he's not very interested in helping, which is also why he's still like, you know, suspicious. When they asked to do a phone interview to help with the investigation, Lester replied, no, my daughter is really nuts. I've been through this too long, too many times with the police and everybody else, and I ain't going through it again. Okay. So what I'm thinking happened is because Angel left the house before she was 18. And typically like, if you do that, something's going on, like in the house or whatever. So her and her dad must not get along. So now she probably is like up in his business asking like why he didn't tell them that she was murdered, why he's not helping, like, why is he whatever? Cause he literally calls her nuts. Like he says she's nuts.
Yeah, that's and good.
And she has two brothers, so it's not like it's her sister or something like it. It's Angel.
Yeah.
So he's still a person of interest because of his lack of helpfulness during the first go around to try to solve Edna's murders, and like his just general lack of like wanting to find something out at all. I feel like even though it's like your ex, you still want to help, like, especially if you didn't do anything, because they're going to look at you first. Like, they always look at the ex first. So it's like, yeah, I want to be more helpful.
I don't know. I see also, though, that if this is a Black man from a certain generation, you know, talking to the police is not something that they...
Mr. Lester is a Black man.
Okay.
He's white. The only Black man was the guy that came asking for VJ's address.
Okay.
And they can't find him. They don't know who Marty is.
I don't know what his problem is.
Yeah, I don't know what Russell Lester's problem is. I have no idea. That's why he's still like suspicious to them, I think, because he's not helpful. And that's why I'm like, if you didn't have anything to do with it, just like answer the friggin' questions. I don't know. I mean, I do know that can also get tricky.
Yeah,
he doesn't seem like he like is just suspicious of the cops. Like he acts like he wants to have nothing to do with it, and that his daughter's like been he's like, no, my daughter's nuts. I've been through this for too long. So I think the daughter's like giving him a bunch of shit kind of thing for it. I think.
Right.
That's what I'm thinking. But he also, another reason is because he cut off all ties. Once he got the kids, he cut off all ties with the mom's family and friends. So that's why Angel didn't learn about Edna's murder until she came back to reconnect with her mom's family. And that's when she found out about it. So Edna's case is still unsolved, but her daughter Angel believes that someone still alive knows something about her mother's murder. They didn't hint at any motive, like, for this unidentified man. Like, they didn't, no one really, I don't think they would even know. I mean, apparently she's not, I didn't get the thing that she was, like, you know, into anything seedy or, like, whatever. So I don't know. I would assume there must have been some turmoil with the ex-husband, and like, so his lack of cooperation is also keeping him, like, he doesn't sound like the nicest of people, so I'm sure that's probably why. I don't know how you could that quickly see a house on fire and not see anyone running from it or like leaving the area. So I feel like there's got to be a neighbor that saw something.
Also, in order to set a house on fire, I would think that you would need supplies.
Right.
You know, like some gasoline or incendiary device. You're not going to just randomly go into a house and be like, like if I tried to set my house on fire, I think it would take me a minute.
Right? I have never thought about it, but yes, I would assume.
I mean, if you're trying to obliterate evidence, you want, like, you're going to need, like, gasoline.
But also, right, but a part of me also doesn't think that that was part of the plan either, because the body wasn't badly burned. So in my opinion, right, you want to cover that up first?
Right, you would set the, well, unless they wanted it to look like an accident.
I don't know. We're like clearly you and I would not be very good murderers or arsonists.
I don't even know.
Which I'm going to chalk up as a good personality trait. I have no idea. They didn't hint at motive. So I guess they're like trying to figure out like how she would know this Marty person.
Yeah.
But maybe what I'm thinking is like maybe she didn't see like another person with him on the porch. So maybe like Russell was there with him. Like Russell knows this person, or I don't know. I have no idea. But
that's really weird.
Yeah.
And to stab somebody like that's so once stabby. Again.
So stabby. And like not just once or twice, like 15. Like you were making sure she was dead. Like, full on, making sure.
And that takes some effort. Like, you have to be angry.
Yeah, I never stabbed anyone, but.
No, but I
feel like it's got to take a lot of, like.
Energy, yeah.
Yeah. So, either you're a very strong person, you were ragey, and so your endorphins were just, like, all over the place. Or see, then the third one would be like, or you had enough time to do that. And I feel like you either had to be really, really strong or you had to be really ragey in order to do that because you didn't have enough time.
No.
And that happened so quickly because if it was after 8 when she dropped her kids off, and then, I mean, I'm sure the school is in the neighborhood. So like, I'm sure she wasn't that far away, but I don't know if that school exists anymore. I've never heard of it. So I'm not sure that school exists anymore, but I'm sure she was like close. So I'm sure it wasn't like a long drive, but say like you drop the kids off at like 8:05, 8:10, you get home at what? 8:15, something like that. But then that's only 45 minutes.
Well, and then she had the conversation on the phone
with the cousin, and she was like talking to the cousin.
Right.
So that's 45 minutes to rage stab someone 15 times for her to have a phone call. Excuse me, for her to have a phone call. So it's even less than 45 minutes. So for her to have a phone call than for you to come into the house, stab her 15 times, move her body to somewhere. I want to say it was the bedroom. Of course, I didn't write that part down, but I think she was in her bedroom. But yeah. to stage the whole body and then to light the house on fire.
Yeah, and have it like catch on fire enough to like
right
a blaze.
Right. So it just, I have a lot of questions for this.
Yeah, that's a lot.
A lot of questions for this murder because, well, then, so that also makes it sound like this was premeditated because
right.
If you were going in there that quickly.
Yeah, you got to be ready to go.
You have to be ready to go. Like you have to be in there, fully prepared, ready to go.
Yeah, like
that was 100%
in there and like you're going to stab somebody, you already had a knife or did you go in the kitchen and find a knife or?
I don't know, man. I got a lot of questions. I feel so bad for this poor woman and her family. I mean, she had three kids and Angel said that she has grandkids now and one of the grandkids has a kid. So she would have been a great grandmother.
Oh, and obviously she was close with her cousin and, you know, extended family. Yeah.
She was only, okay. So in 82, she was like 10 years older than my mom. She would be 10 years older than my mom. So she'd be in her 70s and that's not, oh, in my opinion, that's not old. So,
well, grandma. Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, my family members live to be well into their 90s. So 70 is not old to me, but
no, not at all. No.
But yeah, she'd only be in her 70s and she'd be a great grandmother already.
Yeah.
That's just like, it's sad. I don't know. And the fact that they don't even have like a motive of like why someone would do this, it was not random. So there's something someone's missing. And I hope this detective Harbin can figure that out and finally kind of solve that. They need, you know who they need to get in there? Kelly Stigler with Cold Justice.
Yes.
That is my girl. I love her. I'm obsessed with her. They need to get Cold Justice up in there.
Yeah. I feel like that's probably the hardest thing for these kids is like just not knowing what happened.
I couldn't even imagine like if Linda was murdered and I didn't know who did it. I couldn't even imagine like how horrible that must feel.
Just always having a question like
that. Yeah. And to feel like you can't like help them. Like you can't give them like that justice. Like I feel like you've got to have a lot of guilt and like just a lot of sadness. And that really sucks.
In my opinion. Poor lady.
I know. Wow. But because it's unsolved, so if anyone has any information or know someone that maybe lived in that area, the North Rampart Street area in the Ninth Ward, you know, maybe your kids went to St. Maurice's and you knew Edna, like, you know, something like that, or you went to St. Maurice's and your mom or parents might know Edna, something like that, they can contact NOPD Detective Harbin at 504-658-5315. And there has been no updates on it. So I'm going to just go with it still an open unsolved case. So yeah, if anyone has anything, I'm sure her kids would, you know, really like to have some answers and stuff. There's gotta be a neighbor. There's gotta be somebody that saw something or maybe like knew Edna. I don't know. Maybe she was like in a relationship with someone else and no one knew or like something like that. Somebody's gotta know something like.
Yeah. And you know, back in the 80s, police work was not, I mean, they just didn't have access to computers and record sharing.
Right.
And so whatever information they probably did gather, you know, they just didn't have the resources that we do now, like databases of information.
I mean, this is, hopefully I say this correctly, but it almost is less helpful that the rape was staged because if they would have gotten the DNA from that then. And then, so, cause Detective Harbin was like, oh, he could be in jail. He could be dead. He could be whatever, but they would have had that, like had him in CODIS. And so they could test it now, even though they couldn't test it then, you know, they could hopefully test it now and like get something. Not that I wished that on her. I'm just saying, like, if they probably don't have any DNA evidence on her at all. I mean, she was, you know, in a fire. So
yeah.
That's the part that sucks, because you have literally nothing to go off of. At least like some cold cases where they collected DNA, you know, in the 70s or whatever, they didn't know what they were doing, but they collected stuff anyway. Mm-hmm. And then they can test it. Now that happens on, you know, unsolved whatever all the time, like Cold Files, Cold Justice, all the cold shows, you know, all the cold shows, that happens all the time. Like some detective in the late 70s thought like, oh, maybe I should keep this shirt that was there. And like, then, you know, they get some DNA off of it. So I don't know. I wish there was some sort of something they could test it. Maybe there is, and maybe they just can't say anything, because, you know, it would ruin like the setup of a suspect or something.
Yeah.
But hopefully there is, and hopefully someone can find something. But yeah. It really is a puzzle, because it doesn't sound like she was, you know, like deserving of anything like that, you know, you know, so I don't know, hope they find something. But that's Edna's story, and that's it. That's her story. That's what's going on. So if you have, like I said, call Detective Harbin. Shout out to the NOPD detective.
I hope they get the information soon for the family.
I know. I really hope. Usually though, I mean, I feel like we are in a time now where people are very like true crime
aware
and stuff, and aware. Yeah. Aware is a good, that's the perfect, like they're more aware. So I think it, hopefully now would be a little bit easier to find somebody, but it's also like that was 40 years ago.
Yeah,
you know, so it's like,
wow, that's hard to
I don't remember what I did last week. I couldn't tell, you know, like I mean, I'm not 40 yet, but I couldn't tell you what I did, you know, 20 years ago when I was 10. I have no idea.
Yeah,
you know, like I don't know. So I hope someone finds something out, but that's our story this week for Edna, and shout out to Angel and,
yes,
and brothers. So
yes, and good on Angel for being persistent and like staying strong, and you know, because that's so hard. I'm sure I can't even imagine. So
but don't want to imagine. Couldn't imagine. Don't want to. Nothing. No. Don't want to. But well, so that's our story.
All right.
We're sticking with it today.
Thank you.
All the puzzles, all the questions, we're just giving you something to chew on and think about.
Definitely.
Like always, you can reach us over email, bigeasyspirits@gmail.com, over our website, bigeasyspiritspodcast.com, and on social media @bigeasyspirits. We're there. We'll answer. We'll email. Well, Facebook, well, Instagram, we don't Twitter. We don't do that. We like Twitter, but we don't have anything to say. So find us, follow us, let us know if you have a favorite episode or if we should look something up. I believe last time I had a story, I said this was going to be a listener story, but I found this one and I just wanted to tell Edna's story. So that one we will tell at a later date. I have a couple of good ones in my back pocket, so we'll have a nice couple of months coming up.
Awesome. Yeah,
but until then, cheers.
Cheers.